Welcome to the Savvy Spiritual Growth Podcast, where it's all about enhancing your spiritual life with host Suzanne Thibault, founder of the Padisma Advanced Healing Systems, intuition expert, and animal communicator. Listen to visionary spiritual leaders and learn their tips for living a divinely inspired life. And now, your host, Suzanne Thibault.
Welcome to episode 22 of Savvy Spiritual Growth Radio. Hi, everyone. Thanks for being here. I'm your host, Suzanne Thibault, and today we're talking about creative divine inspiration and generating flow with our guest, Sumedh Chatterjee. Sumedh is a master's of applied positive psychology and coaching psychology. He is a creative catalyst and personal growth coach. He helps individuals, groups, and primarily millennials explore their self-actualization journeys and crack their subconscious barriers. Through using acting rehearsal techniques, positive psychology, binaural entrainment, and many other tools in his coaching toolkit, he effectively helps his clients to achieve the life of their lucid dreams. He allows for the overlap between science, art, and spirituality. Welcome, Sumedh. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Good to be here.
Yeah, so let's talk about creative divine inspiration and generating flow.
Absolutely.
What is something that you feel holds people back from being fully creative in life?
So in my personal experience and working with my clients, I've noticed that there is one moment that often holds people back from really being creative. It's either that somebody told them in their childhood that they can't be creative, or it's a personal block. It's a personal barrier from really getting themselves to express themselves creatively. Mm-hmm. So either somebody tells them that this is not what art is or something, and they hold on to that mm-hmm. moment in their memories, and so that actually later on in their life, when they're trying to write a book or they're trying to paint, that voice comes up again, and that trauma from that moment comes up again. So that's one of the biggest factors that holds people back from creating. And it's also very much being caught in our heads.
that is true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just the endless self-talk that just speaks to us that we can't do it, or people won't like it, or what will people think of me. In the moment of just losing all that, that's where we look for the inspiration. And I think it's really about being in that sense of concentration. And it's kind of a paradox in a way, because you're letting go, but you're also honing in.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a very, yeah. I think that's generally what holds people back. But there are other factors, obviously. If you grew up in a household that maybe didn't value creativity enough and focus on academics, or if you really get to this point where you're not being able to express yourself through your artwork, maybe there are other factors that are stopping you from doing that, including the voices in your head, and maybe this is your parents, your teachers, your friends.
Mm-hmm. Or yourself.
Or yourself, yeah. Yeah, it's a voice that you created. Yeah,
because my own inner mind, if I try to like do some artwork, freehand drawing, then I hear that little voice in my head saying, "Oh, that sucks. I'm not going to do this. I can't draw," you know, those kind of things. And so that holds me back from being creative.
Definitely. And I've noticed that. And the best thing to do in that situation is to keep doing it anyway.
Okay.
And slowly that voice starts to silence itself.
Good. All right.
Yeah.
I will give that a try for sure. And listeners, you can give that a try too. Every time I draw something, my mind says, "You, that looks like a kindergarten drawing." And so maybe I just then keep drawing and say, yeah. So what? Yeah. I'll just keep drawing. Yeah,
you don't need to think of a comeback. Your comeback is that you're continuing. And so it disproves.
Yeah. Well, part of creativity is passion, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So how would people find passion inside?
Right. Well, a lot of people associate passion with leisure activities, mainly hobbies and things, but I think for me it's more overarching than that. So I think that passion is a kind of organizing principle, if you'd like. It's kind of like a theme, and underneath that passion comes the different ways that you express yourself. So a person can have a passion of just expression, and underneath that you can have writing, you can have drawing, and these different platforms and the way that you are expressing that passion.
So
it's important to also define in terms of an activity that you like doing as opposed to one that you dislike, because passion comes from this excitement, this need to explore that excitement. And there's actually a fine line between passionate and obsession, so people need to be aware of if they're really taking it too far. And the way that I like to differentiate between it is, are you stopping other things in your life? Like, are other aspects of your life being affected because of your passion? Are your relationships suffering because of your passion? Are the different aspects of your life, are they getting better because of your passion, or are they diminishing? And if they are becoming worse, then that's something to consider. Maybe it's more obsessive than actually passionate. So we need to also differentiate between those two. But yeah, well, I think it's very important.
Yeah, it is super important. But how can you tell us how you found your passion?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been exploring the concept of psychology for a while. My dad's a psychiatrist, so that kind of, he's been a little bit of a catalyst, I guess you could say. But I was never really interested in the primary focus of psychology, because it only focused on deficits and mental illness and not wellness, enough on motivation and these topics that are also very important to be talked about. But we as humans, we like to focus on survival, and so we focus on the fear and the aspects that are broken in human beings instead of what are our strengths. And so as I started researching more, I found out positive psychology, and that was exactly that. It was the other side, away from speaking of abnormality and normality. This is what people can do even on the daily basis that will enhance their happiness or levels of motivation. So that was something that primarily interested me, because I was myself on this personal development journey and figuring out who I was and throughout college. And so in terms of my own passion, it started off in the theater world. I was very interested in acting and being on stage. And I felt that I let myself go in a way. I was not worried about my identity on stage, because I could be whoever I wanted to be. And so that feeling was very great to me. And in my final year of my college, I wrote a paper on authenticity and role playing, and how, where is the fine line between that, and why is it important to be authentic, and when is it important to try new things and fake it till you make it? So I became very interested in that topic, and I tried to merge a psychology and theater together. And I went to a liberal arts school, which Bennington College, and that allowed me to do that in a way, to combine two different topics together and take different courses and allow myself to explore that. And for a lot of people listening, you might not have that opportunity to explore many given topics, but it is important to really reflect on the different aspects and different interests that you have, because you can always merge things together and create a niche for yourself. Because I didn't really recognize this. I thought that I would be going very much primarily into acting, but I didn't know that there was this other side of using those rehearsal techniques and using what I learned in that field and being able to apply it and help people and get them out of their comfort zones.
Nice.
So yeah, there was an aspect of me merging my interests together, theater and psychology, to create a kind of new way to coach. And I did look into drama therapy, but that wasn't exactly what I was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I looked into NLP, that wasn't exactly it. So I kind of tried to find my own niche, where I could find a way to really explore these two topics. And I did so by merging two things together. And it's not easy to do that because it's such a new field, and a lot of internships and things that I took were either psychology internships or theater internships.
Right.
But by allowing myself to learn from both of those fields really got me to figure out this merge and this gap between them even more and even further and in greater depth. So yeah, I think after a while it sunk in that I should just try and do something. And I've made up this method called the theatroplasticity method, and I'm writing that book. Essentially, it is using dramatic strategies for behavior change and figuring out a way to give yourself mind shift techniques that will be able to help you in daily life.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's so important because I think a lot of people struggle and they don't need to.
Yeah.
Well, that's so cool that you found your passion and what excites you in your work. And so when you've got your passion going, then does a state of flow happen, or how does flow come into it?
So there's another aspect that I didn't mention. So
okay.
As a child, I was very creative. I was hyper creative, actually. I published a book when I was like 11 and 12 years old.
Wow.
And I was also drawing all the time, constantly. I was listening to a lot of hip hop music. And so that is something that I've been doing for a long time. And really finding out the aspects of freestyle rapping, because that, I feel like you let yourself go in those moments and completely rely on whatever practice that you've had or the rhythms that just happen spontaneously in the moment. And it's a lot about thinking on your feet. And so I think that aspect of freestyle rapping, that's where I got the idea of flow. First learned about flow through hip hop, actually, before I actually found out that this was a concept used in positive psychology by a Hungarian psychologist called Csikszentmihalyi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right. But yeah, it was so interesting because it was the state between arousal and control where you're completely in the zone, as you would say. And it's this sense of ecstasy of being outside of everyday reality. And you get this sense of inner clarity almost. It's like you get immediate feedback on how well you're doing and you keep going.
Okay.
And you know that the activity is doable and it's slightly challenging, and that challenge gets you to really build up that necessary skill set. So you have to have a sense that you are doing this, but you're being challenged by it.
Okay, because I think a lot of people might get stuck on the challenge part.
Right.
And that makes them feel like they can't do it or they're not in flow.
Yeah.
And so you're saying then you have to allow that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a lot about accepting rather than resisting. And you have to lose track of time. If you're completely focused on the present moment, oftentimes we notice that, oh, like 6 hours have gone past, I'm still painting this amazing painting, and you lose your sense of self as well as all your worries and concerns. And it's this very intrinsic motivation. So whatever produces flow becomes its own reward.
Nice. Okay. Okay. Well, you sound like you've really investigated and cracked the code on that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's awesome. What inspires you to create and get in that flow?
So I definitely don't like forcing things. I think definitely I find that when I let myself flow, when there's no kind of gravitational pull from the outside world telling me to perform a certain way where I can finally just be myself and let myself go, that's where I find that I thrive the most. And how I get into flow is, take for example, if I'm trying to think of lyrics to write for a rap song, I play the beat and I will play the beat over and over again until words start to flow from my mouth. And I don't know what I'm saying half of the time, but I know the rhythm, I know the hum, and I just allow myself to not be so focused on what words I'm rhyming wrong or the mistakes that I'm making, but actually going with the mistakes and following the fear instead of resisting it.
Okay.
And as you allow yourself to have a different kind of attitude towards that creative task, and you allow yourself to drift with the mistakes, I guess is one way to put it. And that's what really excites me and gets me into flow, is when I just fully let myself go in the moment and I allow the words to kind of speak for me. It's almost like channeling in a way.
Yeah, you're channeling the flow, and through the flow, you're creating organically.
Absolutely.
And I totally understand when you say you have to have a different attitude about it. Yeah. I think people truly get stuck and just give up when they're trying to create something. Just if they hit a wall, then they just quit and give up. And if they could have a different perspective on it, they can get back into that creative flow.
Yeah. One thing that helps me is I constantly remind myself that it's everything to gain, nothing to lose. It's like nothing to prove, everything to improve, you know? So I keep telling myself like these quotes that get me to really allow for the growth to happen, allow for the flow to take over.
Those are really good quotes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you had a magic wand and could change one thing about this world, what would it be?
That's a good question. I definitely would say more compassion.
Me too.
Yeah. I think there's definitely a lack of compassion, and that definitely, like, I've seen myself get into moments of lack of compassion, and I know it because it's not me. It doesn't feel like me.
Right.
But it's definitely this voice in your head that's protective and defensive, and it's your ego essentially, and it just controls so much of our lives that we lose a sense of being human, of really feeling more in greater depth, and being able to cherish moments instead of look for the next thing to get us on this instant kind of gratification. Instead of looking for the instant pleasure, instead of delaying it and having that sense of eudaimonic fulfillment, which is eudaimonia is a word used in positive psychology, which links to flourishing and fulfillment rather than the instant hedonic pleasure that you get from, let's say, drinking out one night or having the instantaneous pleasure from watching a movie, but rather planning out the long-term happiness. And that's something that if I had a magic wand, I would definitely try and find a way to change people's perception of that magic pill, and recognizing that they are their own magic pill, that there is no one thing that is going to help everybody, that everybody has their own techniques and things that work for them. And it's about really starting out on one's own individual journey in spirituality or throughout finding out what is right for them or what their passions are, that really allows for people to explore that in greater depth and figure out what it means for them and is it meaningful for them.
Right. It's about taking a look inside yourself instead of trying to get and feel better from things outside of you, that looking inside is where you're going to find your fulfillment and your joy and your compassion and your happiness.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't need it from outside things.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, that's wonderful work that you do with clients. And if people want to learn more about your work, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, you can always shoot me a message on Instagram, and it's that's that splash life altogether. So THATSPLASH life, LIFE. So that splash life altogether. That's my Instagram. I post on there daily, and I have a website, coachingwithsume.com. So that's where you can find out my services.
All right. Awesome. Well, I thank you, Sumedh, for being our guest today and sharing this great wisdom with our listeners. I think you were very inspiring and helpful for people to understand, to move past their belief systems and into a different attitude so they can truly get into their creative flow and create a life of passion for themselves.
Great.
So thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. Have a great day.
Okay. And thanks everyone for being here. And remember that love makes all things possible.
Thank you for listening to Savvy Spiritual Growth with Suzanne Thibault. If you enjoyed this episode, tell a friend and share the amazing energy. Be sure to check out the other episodes to ignite your personal and spiritual growth for you and your pet. If you are ready to talk to your pets and angels, heal with your pet, and change your life, get Suzanne's free gift, Pet Communication 101, a mini training course where you learn the foundation of animal communication. Available at suzannethibault.net. If you are a pet parent looking to create a deeper connection with your pet, then join our Facebook group, Pet Communication, a community for animal lovers. Also visit us on Blogger, LinkedIn, and Google+.